routines that give life help you when the trouble comes, or routines that steal your life only make life worse when the trouble comes. Trouble is going to come to everybody, and life is not most challenging just because trouble comes. Life is most challenging when you don't have, when we don't have routines in place that help us when those problems come. For instance, problems come and we don't have a routine of studying our word, getting to the scriptures. And so when the trouble comes, the only thing you draw off is the philosophies of men, your past experience, your feelings or emotions, or what your cousin Mimi Nim said, or your grandma's superstition, or whatever that is. When trouble comes and we don't have a habit of praying and fellowshipping with God, if we don't have that routine in place when trouble comes, you don't feel so confident about praying. You haven't been talking to God and you feel guilty and you don't feel like God is really going to listen to you because, well, I've been out of routine with talking with God. When trouble comes and you don't have a routine of fasting, you don't have the discipline for your body, for your mind, the spiritual discipline to not react to certain things just based on how you feel because you haven't been tempering and keeping your body under control. When trouble comes and you really, really need help and you don't have a routine of being in community, you find yourself looking for who can help me now. Where do I go? I'm in a jam. I need support. And without a routine of being intentional about being a community, when trouble comes, it can feel like you don't have a friend in the world. So that's why we're going to get into this. And I want you to open up your Bible and to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as we get to that, I want to read a quote to you from Oswald Chambers, one of my favorite writers of all time. Is what he says. And he was speaking in light of this great miracle that we've experienced from Jesus Christ. And this is, you know, he's quoting on based on 2 Peter, where he says that now that we are divine partakers of the divine life. Here's what Oswald Chambers says. He says, we are to add to our lives all that character means in that divine life. No one is born either naturally or supernaturally with character. It must be developed. Nor are we born with habits or routines. We have to form godly habits on the basis of the new life God has placed within us. We're not meant to be seen as God's perfect, bright, shining examples, but to be seen as the everyday essence of ordinary life exhibiting the miracle of His grace. End quote. So if you have your Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 3, just think about this is something that doesn't just happen. And in this passage of scripture, starting at verse 14, Paul is writing to Timothy, a young man who had received the faith. Don't know what his life was like, but he was raised by his grandma. So home life, I don't know if he lost his parents, it could have been anything, but somehow he was raised by his grandma. And he tells him, after he had been taught, in verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. Now, if we read that in the Christian Standard Bible, I'm just going to read it to you in another version. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, I want to let y'all know that even though he says the man of God, that is not exclusive to men. Amen. God wants to equip every single one of us. And so we know that the scriptures are valid. They are historically accurate, geographically accurate. And to this day, it is one of the most referenced books in the world, not just for its wisdom, not just for its historical accounts and geographical locations, but also for spiritual life. The scriptures still act as a guide for us. Now, to give you an example of what that looks like, I want you guys right now to everybody point to the north. All right, I saw some people, some of y'all don't know where yet, huh? You don't know which direction. All right, so who said, y'all, everybody's pointing that way? Okay. Wow. You guys are right. Point to the west. Okay, y'all good. Some of y'all just like, I didn't even know. There's a north, south, east, and west. So this is what the Bible acts like. It's like a compass. And regardless to what we think about ourselves, just like a ship in the water, when the waves, that ship can leave the dock and set off going due north. But the waves in the sea, the winds, the current, somehow that ship is going to end up going in a different direction. The captain always has to come back and look at the compass to stay on course. And this is why a routine of Bible reading is so essential to the Christian life. It is not for us to just, oh, well, yeah, I think we're going this way. No, we have to come back to the words of God to keep us on track. Amen? And so we know that this is true because God wants us to go in a certain direction. These scriptures are not just for us to read and feel good. It is because God gave these scriptures because he has a very specific desire for us. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to stay on course. He wants us to avoid potholes and troubles that are unnecessary in our lives. He wants us to be all that he called us to be. That's what he wants for us. That's why he gave us his word. It says so that the man or woman of God can be thoroughly furnished with everything you need and become exactly who you're supposed to be in everything you do. That is God's plan. And so if you look at the scriptures as a compass, then you understand why it is necessary for us to have a routine to come back to these holy scriptures. Now if you look at verse 14, look at what he says. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. To continue in something is to form a routine. You have to keep coming back to what you learned and firmly believe. How many of y'all have fell out of sorts and started to wonder if God loves you or is even there? I got my hand up. How many of y'all feel like, man, maybe I am totally off track? My hand is up. This is why we have to come back. And when we come back and we realize that God hasn't left us, He's never left us nor forsaken us. He's never left any of us, His people. He's always been a redeemer, always been a restorer, always been a healer, always been a friend and a comforter, always been a teacher, always been the same person that He is. When we come back to the scriptures that remind us of these things, you can take a deep breath. You can breathe again. And it's a blessing. Now, if you look at verse 15, he says, "And you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, this is a big point for me. Because most of the time when we hear the word salvation, what do y'all think of when y'all hear salvation? I want to hear from y'all. What do y'all think of? What comes to your mind when you think of the word salvation? What does that mean? Huh? Safe? Saved. Huh? Heaven? Micaiah? I can hear you. Redemption. Come on, y'all. What comes to your mind? What's on your mind right now? Some of y'all looking the same way y'all looking when I said which way is north. What comes? Huh?
Saved.
The cross? Okay. All right. Now, here's what I want you to pay attention to. He says that the scriptures are able to give you. Now, in the King James, this is the way it reads. It says, the scriptures are able to give you, make you wise unto salvation. So he's saying that the wisdom through the scriptures leads you into something. That is, it results in something. And most of the time when we think of salvation, it is not yet. It is this soon coming. Hopefully the Lord is coming back soon. Hopefully we won't see 10 more presidents. Hopefully Jesus is coming. Lord, when are you coming back, right? And we just think of salvation that way. But when you do a careful word study on salvation, salvation is right now. Salvation includes peace. It includes provision. It includes strength from God. It includes knowledge and wisdom. Salvation is of the Lord. David said, "You are my salvation." Right? He said, "You are my light and you are my salvation. It is in you that I live and move and have my being." The life that I get from God is my salvation. And so when we think of salvation as something that can supernaturally transpose or transplant itself into our lives, that has power and authority over everything that's going on around you. Sometimes you might feel like you're at your wit's end. I don't know what to do. Salvation is here for that. Sometimes you feel like, man, I just don't have the strength. I don't think I can make it another day. Salvation is here for that. Sometimes you feel like you don't have a friend in the world. Nobody understands you. You don't feel loved or you feel rejected or abandoned. Salvation is here for that. Sometimes you feel like you're just out of control. You just can't seem to get on track and stay on track. Do you know that salvation is here for that? And this scripture says that the scriptures are able to give you the wisdom that leads to those things that are evidence in your current life of salvation being a right now thing. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. And that's not just evidence on Sunday. That's evidence on your job, in your house, with your friends, in your mind, in your heart, in your body. Salvation is right now. right now. Let's go on. Verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, or for correcting, for training in righteousness. Scripture is inspired by God. Now, it'd be one thing if everything your life was dependent on was just coming from Brother Aaron or Sister Jane or T.D. Jakes or Oswald Chambers or Charles Spurgeon, or we could just list, just go on and on. If it was solely coming from men or Plato or Socrates or whoever it is, your educational experience, your mama, your daddy. But he's saying, listen, these scriptures that we're being challenged to get into a routine of reading actually are breathed by God. They come out of the same mouth that spoke in the darkness and there was light. They come out of the same mouth that where there was chaos, it gave complete order, perfect and divine order. Come out of the same mouth that created the birds and the trees and the rivers and the seas. These scriptures are inspired by God. So when we get into the scriptures, we're not just listening to men. We're actually listening to God. Listening to God. Let's keep going in this verse. It says it's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. And I know as soon as y'all hear teaching and correcting and rebuking, y'all got a few people that y'all need to teach that, right? Because my boss, listen, let me show you what you need to be doing as an employee. We want to go and start rebuking people, but actually, if that rebuke doesn't land here first, home, in my own heart, that salvation will be a distant friend. He says it's for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, when you get to that whole rebuking thing, and I just want to go back to that just for a second, that whole rebuking thing, there are some cultures that is a really high priority. You know, and you'll hear terms like, you can't stand, you know, you can't take correction. And I mean, that's an issue. But when it's this big thing that you got this kind of culture that always want to just get you in your place, which sometimes you do need to get people in their place. But this is kind of like the norm. This is the tone of the place. This is the feel that we are all about rebuking and chastising and correcting. That's an unhealthy culture. I'm just gonna put it out there like that. It's unhealthy. As a matter of fact, if you look at this scripture in context of what 1 Peter 22 says, Peter says, as you're obeying these scriptures, he says that you obey to the purifying of your souls through the Spirit that leads you to unfeigned or unadulterated love of the brethren. So this rebuking and correcting and all of that stuff is not sheerly a mechanical thing. I saw you do wrong and I'm going to correct your wrong. And that you're just looking for it. But out of a love-filled, compassionate heart, you seek to help people when they need correct. Amen? Is that different? Good. And so, as we close this up, this is a very simple look at something that, this is, for some of y'all, for most of y'all, probably, this is really elementary. Like, yeah, we do need to read our Bibles. This is what Oswald Chambers finished saying. He said, it's difficult for us to do the adding that Peter mentioned. We say we do not expect God to take us to heaven on a flowery bed of roses, and yet we act as if we do. I must realize that my obedience, even in the smallest detail of life, has all of the omnipotent power of the grace of God behind it. I'm gonna pause right there in this quote. Sometimes we don't realize it. We minimize the significance of our obedience to stay in the scriptures. We minimize the power that comes with it. Somehow the authority and the majesty and the dominion and the sovereignty of the God that spoke into the scriptures loses its weight when we look at the scriptures. And so when the weight of the scriptures is gone, then the routine is easily broken. And we'll find ourselves struggling to stay in a routine of studying the scriptures. We have to remember what Paul said. He said, these are not just words. These are words that God spoke. They're words that can give you life. They're words that'll show up in the midnight. There are words that will show up in situations. There are words that will change the way you respond to things, the way you see the world, the way you see authority, the way you see your children, the way you see yourself, the way you see your employer or your employees, the way you see your neighbor. These are words that will shape your heart and make your life better. And it is a routine that we have to trust that because it's the words of God, we need to get in a routine of getting these words in our hearts. Even though, as we do it, it may not make you jump up and shout. You will read your scriptures, and trust me, you're not going to walk out. I ain't going to say not necessarily. You're not going to walk outside your house and see a brand new car. It may not change things instantly, but it will change things. He finishes by saying, if I will do my duty, not for the duty's sake, but because I believe God is engineering my circumstances, then at the very point of my obedience, all of the magnificent grace of God is mine, is yours, through the glorious atonement by the cross. Oswald Chambers. I want to close by saying this. There's a miracle that has taken place. That miracle has taken a dark, dead soul and made it live again. That miracle has taken eyes that were closed from seeing a living and true God and opened them up to behold the God of Israel. That miracle is taking ears that were plugged up and couldn't hear nothing but was in our own hearts, and open them up to hear what's in the heart of God. And that miracle continues to go with us and to prompt us and convict us and move us. But I'm going to tell you something, that as the miracle of the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, the Holy Spirit does not work apart from the scriptures. So the Holy Spirit is not coming with something new and all of this kind of stuff. The Holy Spirit works in correlation with the scriptures. So often you may find yourself being prompted to get back in the scriptures. And that's what God is doing for us today, saying, hey, as we look at routines that give life to us, and we start changing some of the routines that have been draining us and pulling us down and haven't yielded any kind of meaningful fruit in our lives, we're going to start with the scriptures, and we're going to move to prayer, fasting, and community. It's going to be good, trust me. So that I don't leave you without something that you can instantly apply to your life, I want to share with you a few resources that I use. All of these you can do on your laptop, your phone, or your desktop computer. For a Bible reading plan, YouVersion, I don't know if any better. I'll give y'all time to come up with something better. Some of y'all might have something you want to share. But YouVersion, you can pick it out whether you want to do the Bible in a year or 2 years. If you want to do a Bible reading plan for a book in the Bible, topic, you just want to get on some plan, YouVersion is a free download and it is awesome. If you want Bible study tools, you just want to get deeper in your study, you want to understand theology and you want to understand history and apologetics, Bible Hub is great. It's a free download for your phone. Logos is a free download for your phone, but not a free download for your desktop. It gets up into the thousands of dollars, but it's really, really good. And then if you are like me and I like to just listen to things all the time, Million Best Projects makes a great audio Bible that's free for download on your phone. You can listen to it while you ride. If you would like to get into a community, which I am actually testing this for myself right now, there's an app called 2 or 3. Where you can actually, we can all study, like we can take 2 Timothy, these verses we read today, plug them in there, and actually text back and forth. Hey, what did you get out of verse 15? What did you get out of the message on Sunday? And it can just be a little community. We could do it in small groups, so it's not 40 people in the same group. You can just say, hey, us 4 are going to get in this group, and this is how we roll in through this Bible sermon series. It's called 2 or 3. I don't know how well it works, but I have a good friend who said, man, you're going to love it when you get to know it. And that is it.